Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations, text number 18. Nārto balir ayamuru krama pāda saucham. Apasika tutavato vibudhad hipatyam. Yovai patishrutam ritena chikirsad anyan. Atmanam angra manasa kahareye bimine. Na, never, artha, of any value in comparison with. Bale, of strength. Ayam, this. Urukrama parasocham. The water washed from the feet of the personality of Godhead. Apa, water. Sigadritavato, of one who has kept it on his head. Vibhuda adhipatyam, supremacy over the kingdom of the demigods. Ya, one who, vai, certainly, patishrutam, what was duly promised, rite, na, besides that, chikirsat, tried for, and yet, anything else, atmanam, even his personal body, Anga, O Narada, Manasa, within his mind, Haraye, unto the Supreme Lord, Abhimene, dedicated. Can anybody figure out which incarnation this one is about? Vamanadeva, yes. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Bali Maharaj, who put on his head the water washed from the lotus feet of the Lord, did not think of anything besides his promise, in spite of being forbidden by his spiritual master. The king dedicated his own personal body to fulfill the measurement of the Lord's third step. For such a personality, even the kingdom of heaven, which he conquered by his strength, was of no value. Purport. Bali Maharaj, by gaining the transcendental favor of the Lord in exchange for his great material sacrifice, was able to have a place in Vaikuntha Loka with equal or greater facilities of eternal enjoyment. Therefore, he was not at all the loser by sacrificing the kingdom of heaven, which he had possessed by his material strength. In other words, when the Lord snatches away one's hard-earned material possessions and favors one with his personal transcendental service for eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, such taken away by the Lord should be understood, be a special favor upon such a pure devotee. Material possessions, however alluring they may be, cannot be permanent possessions. Therefore, one has to voluntarily give up such possessions, or one has to leave such possessions at the time of quitting this material body. The sane man knows that all material possessions are temporary, and that the best use of such possessions is to engage them in the service of the Lord, so that the Lord may be pleased with him and award him a permanent place in his Param Dham, the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:5-6, the Param Dham of the Lord is described as follows. Nirmala moha jita sangha sadosha adhyatma nitya vinirita kama dvandvari mukta sukaduka sangyar gajanchimura paramam avyamta natad basa yate suryo natad anasa sankho napavaka yadgatana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. One who possesses more in this material world, in the shape of houses, land, children, society, friendship, and wealth, possesses these things only for the time being. One cannot possess all this illusory paraphernalia created by Maya permanently. Such a possessor is more illusioned in matter of his self-realization. Therefore, one should possess less or nothing, so that one may be free from artificial prestige. We are contaminated in the material world by association with the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the more one spiritually advances by devotional service to the Lord in exchange for his temporary possessions, the more one is freed from the attachment of material illusion. To achieve this stage of life, one must be firmly convinced about spiritual existence and its permanent effects. To know exactly the permanency of spiritual existence, one must voluntarily practice possessing less or only the minimum to maintain one's material existence without difficulty. One should not create artificial needs that will help one be satisfied with minimum. Artificial needs of life are activities of the senses. The modern advancement of civilization is based on these activities of the senses, or in other words, it is a civilization of sense gratification. Perfect civilization is the civilization of Atma, or the soul proper. The civilized man of sense gratification is on an equal level with the animals, because animals cannot go beyond the activities of the senses. Above the senses is the mind. The civilization of mental speculation is also not the perfect stage of life, because above the mind is the intelligence, and the Bhagavad Gita gives us information of the intellectual civilization. The Vedic literatures give different directions for the human civilization, including the civilization of the senses, of the mind, of the intelligence, and of the soul proper. The Bhagavad Gita primarily deals with the intelligence of man, leading one to the progressive path of civilization of the spirit soul. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the complete human civilization, dealing with the subject matter of the soul proper. As soon as a man is raised to the status of the civilization of the soul, he is fit to be promoted to the kingdom of God, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as per the above verses. The primary information of the kingdom of God informs us that there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity, which are all necessary in this material world of darkness. And the secondary information of the kingdom of God explains that anyone able to reach that kingdom by adoption of the civilization of the soul proper, or in other words, by the method of bhakti yoga, attains the highest perfection of life. One is then situated in the permanent existence of the soul, with full knowledge of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Bali Maharaj accepted this civilization of the soul in exchange for his great material possessions, and thus became fit for promotion to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, which is achieved by dint of his material power was considered most insignificant in comparison with the kingdom of God. Those who have attained the comforts of a material civilization made for sense gratification should try to attain the kingdom of God by following in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, who exchanged his acquired material strength, adopting the process of bhakti yoga as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and further explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's all pretty spelled out there, isn't it? Om Gyanantamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshram Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kutubachalam Pungam Payate Grim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dintaranam Vanchakapa Tubyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. Understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. And thus, utilizing everything in his service. And always trying to remember Krishna, the glories of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. Satang prasangam mama virya sangvado vavanti ritkarna rasaya nakata tajosna dasa pavargar varmani shraddha ritir bhaktir anupramishati. The devotees of the Lord, they derive great happiness, great pleasure, discussing the pastimes of Krishna in the association of other devotees. And this hearing of the glories of Krishna is very, very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. And by this hearing, one becomes liberated. Simply by hearing the glories of Krishna, one becomes liberated from material existence. One gains a taste for serving Krishna, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, and eventually attains love for Krishna. So this is what happens. This is what we have to look forward to. Attaining love for Krishna. And this attainment of love for Krishna means that we have to have some desire to hear about him, to serve him. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing the glories of Krishna. There's so many glories. We're so fortunate that we have these books that describe the glories of Krishna, the amazing activities of Krishna. Just like this pastime here. It's fascinating. Here, Bali Maharaj, he had conquered heaven. Now, we can't understand what that means. I mean, like on this planet, you know, I guess the most powerful country is America. But that's nothing. I mean, that's like a little, that's not even a village compared to the kingdom of heaven. It's just like unlimited opulence. And not just one planet, many planets, the kingdom of heaven. So he had conquered the entire kingdom of heaven. So much opulence. But when Vamanadeva came, he was just so enamored, he was just so attracted to this little dwarf, Brahmana. He gave him whatever you want, I'll just give you whatever you want. And Vamanadeva said, okay, I just want 3 steps of land. That's all. And Bali Maharaj said, little Brahmana, you don't know what I've just offered you. I've offered you whatever you want, and all you want is 3 steps of land, and you have such little feet. You know, come on, ask for more than that. He said, no, I'm a Brahmin, I'm satisfied. Just give me 3 steps of land. I don't need much. And then his spiritual master said, don't even give him this. Don't even give him this, because with those 3 steps of land, he's going to take everything. But then he's a Brahmana. Sukracharya is a Brahmana. And he's supposed to give guidance towards Vishnu. So he doubted his spiritual master. What is this? You're supposed to give me guidance to Vishnu, and now you're saying no. So he rejected him. And generally, as we all know, to reject the spiritual master, that's the most sinful thing. And actually it happened here in Prabhupada's presence. Disciples rejected him. There was one disciple even wrote a letter to Prabhupada, rejected him, and asking for blessings to find another spiritual master. You can imagine how offensive. So yeah, Kali Yuga. So to reject the spiritual master is the most sinful thing. Of course, that's a bona fide spiritual master. So Sukracharya here, he's not acting as a bona fide spiritual master. What he should have done is said, yes, give everything, whatever he wants, good. Whatever he wants, you give it to him. But he was worried. Sukracharya was a little worried that if you give everything to this Brahmana, Vamanadeva, then what am I going to have? I lose everything. So don't give everything. Don't even give these 3 steps of land, because they'll take everything. Don't do it. So he rejected him. And he became so glorious because of his rejection to a spiritual master. It's amazing. One of the most sinful things you can do. He became glorious for that. Rejecting a bogus guru. And in Kali Yuga, there's so many bogus gurus. So we can't even come close to counting our blessings by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And he's created so many gurus also. Prabhupada means that guru at whose feet other gurus bow down to. So that's Prabhupada. Such a great acharya that he was able to create other gurus. Just like this, it's described that there's 2 types of purity in the nectar of devotion. One purity is where one is so pure that he doesn't do anything that is impure. All of his activities are pure. And the other one, which is higher, is where one is so pure that he's able to purify others. So Krishna is that to an unlimited degree. To an unlimited degree. Krishna is so pure that anybody that comes in contact with him, they get purified. In whatever way, chanting his name or taking Krishna prasadam or seeing the deity form. In all these different ways we become purified. And he himself is so pure. His activities are all pure. Whatever he speaks is pure. Whatever he does is pure. Now some may say, well, wait a second. Krishna was stealing. He was a thief. How was that pure? Well, actually, Krishna, he stole butter just to please his mother and to please the devotees. Because when we hear about Krishna stealing butter, it's just so nice. Mukhan chor, mukhan lal. And when Krishna would steal the butter from the gopis, they would try to catch him, right? And one time, they actually caught him. One Mataji, she caught Krishna stealing butter. She said, "You nonsense. You've been stealing butter from me so long, but now I've caught you. I finally caught you. Now you're going to get it." So she took Krishna to Mother Yasoda. Oi, Mother Yasoda, I caught your son. I caught this rascal. He's stealing butter in my home. You have to stop him. She came, she answered the door. She said, what, Mataji, what are you saying? What? Your son here has been stealing butter from my home for so long. I've been trying to catch him. Finally, I've caught him. I've got him. You have to punish him. You got to stop doing this. And then she looked down and said, Mataji, are you feeling okay? You have your son's hand. This is your son here. You don't have Krishna. She looked down and said, hey! Where's Krishna? Where did he go? Mataji, I think you should go have some rest. Go take some rest. I think you've been working too hard. Yeah, sorry, Mother Yasoda. I don't know what happened. I thought I had him. I thought I caught him. And then she walks away. And then she's still walking, thinking she's holding her son's hand. And she looks down. And Krishna again. Hey, Krishna, how did you do this? And then he said to her, if you ever do this to me again, I'm going to turn into your husband. And then she said, she never tried to catch Krishna again. You want to steal butter? Okay, steal butter, whatever you want. So Krishna steals to please his devotees. And Krishna also, sometimes Krishna lies. And therefore he told Arjuna, you declare it boldly that my devotee, he never perishes. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna said, you declare it, because sometimes Krishna, he doesn't keep his word. And that's also to please his devotee. It's like in the, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, it had not been known who Krishna's would be, whose side Krishna would be on. You know, just like Arjuna, Duryodhana, they were going all over getting different kingdoms on their side, but no one had gone to Krishna yet. And by fate, by providence, they both arrived at Krishna's palace at the same time. And Krishna was resting, his resting pastime. So Arjuna thought, better I'm at his feet. And Duryodhana thought, better I'm at his head, because whoever Krishna sees first, then he has to fulfill their desire. That's the culture. Whoever Krishna sees first, oh, you're here. What is it I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? So Krishna transcendentally woke up. He saw Arjuna first. He said, oh, Arjuna, you're here. And then he turned and said, oh, Duryodhana, you're here too. Oh, what's the occasion? And they explained, well, you know, as you know, there's going to be a battle. And we just happen to be here at the same time asking you to be on our side. So what did Krishna say? I'm not going to fight. I don't want to fight. But I have an army. So one of you can have my army and one of you can have me. So Arjuna, I saw you first, so you can choose. You can either have me or you can have my army, but I'm not going to fight. So Arjuna is very intelligent. Said, I'll take you, Krishna. But Duryodhana is thinking, this guy must have lost his marbles, you know. How could he take Krishna? He's not going to fight. Yeah. But he was very happy. He was bubbling over with joy inside. I get his army. So then Krishna said, all right, Duryodhana, you get the army. And Arjuna, he gets me. But Arjuna also was bubbling over with joy because he knew, if I have Krishna, then I'm set. No problem. And therefore, Krishna says at the end of the Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurjuna, Tatvashi Vijayo Bhutya Dhruva Nityar Matir Mama. Wherever this is spoken by, who? Anybody know? Sanjaya. Yes. He says, wherever there is Krishna, the master of mystics, wherever there is Arjuna, the the supreme archer, there will certainly be beauty, victory, extraordinary strength, and morality. Krishna is the supreme moralist, even though it appears like he steals and he lies. No, there is no one more moral than Krishna. Because whatever he does, he is doing it to please his devotees. Just like a devotee, whatever he does, he is doing it to please Krishna. So Krishna is also the devotee of his devotee. He likes to serve his devotee. So continuing with the story, so the battle is going on for like 4 days. And Duryodhana says to Bhishma, Bhishma is the most powerful warrior on the whole battle. Just hands down, clear as this day, everybody knows Bhishma is the most powerful. Can't be conquered, although he's the grandfather. So Duryodhana said to Bhishma, I could understand that you're favoring the Pandavas because not one of them even has a scratch. So Bhishma, he's a Kshatriya, so he took that as a challenge. Oh yeah, all right. Tomorrow I'm going to kill all the Pandavas with these 5 arrows. And now Duryodhana is feeling joy again. Tomorrow the battle will be over and we will win the war. So Duryodhana said, can I hold those 5 arrows for safekeeping?
Yeah.
So Krishna, that evening he told Arjun, you have to go to Duryodhana and beg charity. And Arjun's thinking, what? I gotta go to Duryodhana and beg charity? Yes, he has 5 arrows that you have to beg for, because if you don't get those 5 arrows are gonna kill all the 5 Pandavas, because Bhishma has taken this vow. So it's good to have someone on your side that's omniscient. So that's Krishna. So Arjuna has faith in Krishna. So he went to Duryodhana, went to his palace there. And he opens the door. Duryodhana opens the door. Oh, Arjuna, you're here. Oh, is there anything I can do for you? Because in the days of yore, in the real Kshatriya battles, after the end of the battle, the end of the day, they would be friends, and sometimes they would you know, eat together and joke, and it's just amazing culture. The fighting would stop, and they would come together and talk, and you know, how was your day today? And well, we lost a few soldiers today. So Duryodhana invited them in, and he said, is there anything I can give you? I can give you the whole kingdom if you want. And Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom. I just want 5 arrows. I just want those 5 arrows that you kept for safekeeping. And Duryodhana immediately gave it to him. This is the culture. Whatever is asked of you, you give it to him. Especially for a kshatriya, someone's begging charity, immediately you give. Of course, this is very unusual that Arjuna is asking him. But Duryodhana actually owed him a favor previously. Arjuna had done a favor to him, and he said, whatever you want in the future, then I'll give it to you. So he gave him the 5 arrows immediately. But then Duryodhana was again lamenting. Oh well, I guess the war is going to continue. So then the next day, Bhishma went to Duryodhana, give me the 5 arrows. I don't have them. What do you mean you don't have them? Yeah. Arjuna came to me last night. I owed him a favor. He asked me for the arrows. I had to give them to him. So Bhishma, being one of the Mahajans, he knew Krishna's behind this. So because he knew that Krishna was behind this, he made a vow that either Krishna is going to break his promise today, or I'm going to kill Arjuna. So word got out of Bhishma's vow to either force Krishna to break his promise or to kill Arjuna. So the whole, apparently the whole Pandava army was protecting Arjuna because they all knew how powerful Bhishma was. So Bhishma, he's working his way through the troops, you know, fighting so valiantly, you can't imagine. And he's working his way through, getting through, and he's got his soldiers also breaking through. Because if they can stop Arjuna, that's a big conquest there. So the whole Kuru army is also breaking through the Pandava army to get Bhishma through to Arjuna. And finally he made it to Arjuna. And they're fighting. Arjuna, of course, he's a very powerful warrior too. So they're fighting. And then it comes to the point where Bhishma is just getting ready to kill Arjuna. And then what happened? Anybody know what happened? No. Now, people think that. It appeared like that's what happened. Because, you know, there's that amazing picture of Krishna holding the wheel. Because he picked up that wheel as a weapon to kill Bhishma. Right? So that's where he broke his promise. He picked up a weapon. Of course, the wheel is generally not a weapon, but it can be a weapon. I mean, any of us could be killed by a wheel. You get hit hard enough by a wheel, then you're finished. So he picked up that wheel to kill Bhishma. And Arjuna's trying to stop him because he made that promise. But who can stop Krishna, right? Try stopping Krishna, right? Especially when someone's trying to kill his devotee. So what happened? Just at that moment, nobody knows? The sun went down. And in these Kshatriya battles, as soon as the sun went down, the fighting is over for the day. So just at that moment, Suryadeva went down and Bhishma was saved. Because he's one of the Mahajans too. Also, he's also a great devotee of Krishna. So it'd be difficult for him to kill Bhishma. But that was the pastime. So Krishna, he broke his promise. Why? To protect his devotee. So whatever Krishna's doing, he's doing it to please his devotee. Yeah. So this is one of the opulences of Krishna. Krishna is also selfless. He just wants to please his devotees. And devotees, seeing Krishna's selflessness, they also become selfless. And they just want to please Krishna. Yeah. So therefore devotees, they take austerities. They undergo austerities for the pleasure of Krishna. And this pastime of Bali Maharaj, that was a great austerity. To give everything to Vamanadeva. And then what's really amazing is that after he said, yes, take your three steps. Two steps, he covered the whole universe. Yeah. Those are big steps. Huh? The whole universe covered. But he has one step left. And then he bound Bali Maharaj. You kept a promise, but now I still have one step left. See, you didn't keep your promise. I took two steps, covered the whole universe. Now I don't have a place for my third step. So, you cheated me. So he bound him. And then what happens? Prahlad Maharaj comes. What is his grandfather? I think his grandfather. Another great devotee. So Bali Maharaj, he's feeling ashamed. Oh, I broke my promise. But then what did Bali Maharaj say? You can put your last step on my head. So he's famous for surrendering everything. Just like we have these these nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasthavam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Adman, Nivedanam. So Bali Maharaj was famous as giving everything. He had everything in the universe, practically, or the heavenly kingdom, at least, and then he just gave it away. So this is the greatness of Bali Maharaj. So we don't have much to give up. But at least we should give whatever we have. We should give our prana, artha, dhyā, vācha, our life, our wealth, prana, artha, dhyā, our intelligence, our words, to glorify Krishna. And Krishna will be very, very pleased if we can do that. Because actually these bodies, they belong to Krishna. Just like we know, we're not this body. It's not our body. So whose body is it? It's Krishna's body. All these bodies belong to Krishna. He's creating them. So he owns them. So we should use these bodies in the service of Krishna. That is proper utilization. Yashaha madugurami hirasi tadanam shanai. Prabhupada mentions this verse in this purport. That to show special mercy to my devotee, I take everything away. So Prabhupada, he had this experience. Prabhupada was actually a very successful businessman. He was a pharmaceutical. He used to, there's one interesting pastime of one devotee. He was put in jail. And before he had to go to jail, he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I have to go to jail. He said, oh, why do you have to go to jail? Prabhupada, I used to sell drugs. He said, oh yeah, I also used to sell drugs. Yeah. He said, it's okay. Krishna will help you out very soon. Don't you just be a good prisoner and Krishna will help you out soon. You know, you get out on good behavior sometimes in America. They have that here also. If you're a good prisoner, they let you out earlier. Yeah. So, don't worry, Krishna will help you get out on good behavior. So Prabhupada was actually very good. He was a good businessman. But because he was so devoted to his spiritual master, he didn't put too much energy. So he kind of, he didn't take it too much energy. Yeah, he just didn't put too much energy into it. And then everything was taken away. Eventually everything was taken away. And then he read this verse, Prabhupada read this verse in the Bhagavatam, spoken by Krishna, Yashaha Manugunami Hirashi Dadanam Shinai. To show special mercy to my devotee, I take everything away. So we don't have much to be taken away. Right? None of us are very wealthy. Of course, I don't know all of you. Maybe there's some millionaires here, I don't know. But whatever we have, it should be utilized in the service of Krishna. And the best way that we can utilize our energy and our time is to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like yesterday, we had a Bhakti Riksha group go on book distribution here in Melbourne. And it was so ecstatic. I think we had about 14 devotees. We were going different areas here in Melbourne. And the devotees were so happy going out and giving the message of Krishna to the residents here in Melbourne. We were having prasadam afterwards, discussing our realizations and our experiences. And it was just so nice. Because preaching is the essence. This is what is most important. And I've heard that we have about, 15 Bhakti Riksha groups, something like that, in Melbourne. So it would be nice if all these Bhakti Riksha groups can get involved in this. What it's called is called the Monthly Sankirtan Festival. So what this Bhakti Riksha group is doing, they're gonna go out the second Saturday of every month. They want to do this because it was so nice. Of course, they're all householders. You have your work and you have your family. And you, but if just once a month you could have this monthly Sankirtan festival. And that's what it was. It was a festival. It was so nice. Devotees were so happy. I should have brought a camera, seeing them, you know, taking pictures of all their happy faces while they're distributing books. Yeah. And many of them never distributed books in their life. Can you imagine? They were so happy. There was one devotee, he had tried distributing books three times and didn't distribute one book. Each time that he tried, he would go out trying to distribute, didn't distribute one. So yesterday he distributed three. Ayo. So he was so happy. So this is what preaching is. It's a very joyful activity. And therefore, before we went out, I told them, this is fun. Book distribution is fun. Don't think it's some great austerity. No, you're just approaching people and giving them Krishna. It's fun. I was telling them that sometimes I'm in such an ecstasy on book distribution. It's so nice. I'm just going person to person, just a big smile on my face. And sometimes my smile muscle. Did you know we have smile muscles? I didn't know we had smile muscles until I got so much. My smile muscles started getting sore because I was smiling so much. You know? I had to massage my mouth. You know, it's a nice problem to have. You know, your smile muscles are starting to get sore. You know? Not many people have that problem, yeah. You look on the internet, you know, smile muscle problem. You probably won't find it. Yeah. But that's what you'll get if you go out on this book distribution. It's such a wonderful activity. Why? Because this is what pleases Krishna the most. He says, Yahidang Padamang Guyang Madhbhakti Sobhyasi. There's anyone who is distributing this secret, this great secret, Guyam. Yaidang Padamang, the supreme Guyam. There's no greater secret than the message of Krishna, the message of Godhead. Anybody who is distributing this message is most dear to me. And there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person that is giving this message out. So that's why it's such an ecstatic activity. So please, I hope all of you can get into this minimum monthly Sankirtan festival. It's just 3 hours. 3 hours out of the month. Yeah. It's increasing. Book distribution is increasing quite a bit here. Just this last month, January, New Govardhan, that's a farm community. They did over 1,000 book points. Yeah. So they're doing huge up there. We had 6 devotees going out every day. Book distribution from a farm. So here we are, big, you know, Melbourne city, second biggest city. So it would be very embarrassing. Don't let a farm beat you. In Sydney, they had their biggest year last year in over 20 years. Sydney. So things are happening. And last year in the whole world, we had our biggest year also. In 20 years. No, we did over 8 million books last year in the whole world. It was the biggest year in 20 years. So devotees are feeling it all over the world. Something's happening. Yeah. Yeah. Krishna energy is increasing. Yeah. Krishna's message is going out more and more throughout the world. So this is very auspicious. Something's happening. So you want to be part of that happening. Spreading the message of Krishna. So, on that note, is there any question or comment? Yes? Krishna's God.
But even Krishna also died like a common human being. Like
An arrow. But he didn't. That's not. He's not accepting some reaction because he got a bow in his foot, an arrow in his foot. That's not due to some reaction. That's Krishna's pastime. Whatever activity is being performed by Krishna, it's all pastime. He's not bound by the laws of karma. He's in control of the laws of karma. So that's the position of Krishna. When we chant the names of Krishna, we become free of all the reactions of our sinful activities. So therefore Krishna, he's so pure that if we chant his names, we become free. So Krishna, he's not bound. He frees us from sinful reaction. He's so great, he's so pure. So he's never, that's just a special pastime of Krishna. Any other question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.